Our scripture reading is Psalm 71. Psalm 71, and our text will be verses 17 and 18 of the psalm. Let us hear the word of God. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame, that seek my hurt. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Call your attention to verses 17 and 18. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. The Word of God speaks powerfully, and it speaks comfortingly to all of God's people. No matter who they are, no matter where they are, and no matter what stage of life they are in. As we continue our family series, we're going to consider God's Word to the aged saints in our midst. Last time we looked at a word that is applicable especially to the young, and even more especially to young men, the calling to be sober-minded. And tonight we look at a beautiful word for the aged in the congregation. This time not a word so much of exhortation, though there are implied exhortations, but a comforting prayer. A prayer that was written by an aged saint under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's what Psalm 71 is. It's the prayer of an aged saint. There's so much beautiful truth for the aged saints in the congregation here in this psalm. We're going to focus on one particular petition in verses 17 and 18. One small part of this beautiful prayer of an aged saint. Now, by way of introduction, I want to call your attention briefly to three things about Psalm 71. In the first place, this psalm is most likely written by David. Psalm 71 has no heading indicating the human writer of the psalm. However, when we compare it with Psalm 31, which is a psalm of David, we will note that the language and structure is very, very similar. Psalm 31 and Psalm 71 are very much alike. And so, it is very reasonable to infer from that Psalm 71 was also written by David. Perhaps Psalm 31 was written earlier in his life, and now, later in his life, David writes Psalm 71 using many of the same ideas, much of the same language, to pray to God as an older man. And that's the second thing to notice about Psalm 71. David wrote this psalm when he was an older man. That's indicated in verse 18 of our text, where the psalmist says, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed." And verse 9 of the psalm, "Cast me not off in the time of old age." In all of Psalm 71, David here is reflecting on God's covenant faithfulness to him throughout the years of his life, all the way up to this point when he is an aged saint. And he now, in this prayer, petitions God for continued care and upholding grace in the latter years of his life, when he is an aged man, suffering from the afflictions of age. And that David suffered from those afflictions is clear from verse 9 of the psalm, where he describes his circumstances, his experience as an older man, as the time of failing strength. But the third thing to notice is that the psalm makes clear that at this time, when David wrote this psalm, there was much trouble in his life. David begins the psalm with a cry for deliverance. In verse 4, David prays for deliverance out of the hands of wicked and an unrighteous man. And in verses 10 and 11, David speaks of enemies who persecute and seek to take him, who say God has forsaken him. Now, we do not know exactly what the historical circumstances behind the psalm are, but a very reasonable possibility is that David wrote this psalm during the time when he was being pursued by his rebellious son Absalom. That was one of the greatest troubles in David's later years when he was an older man. And that certainly fits with the language that we read in this psalm. And so the picture that we get is David, as an aged saint, suffering from the afflictions that come with old age, but also dealing with the great trial of his son's rebellion, not what any father would want in the later years of his life. And so David turns to God with this earnest prayer for help, for strength. As his strength is failing, he calls out to God to be his help, to forsake him not. And in this prayer that arises out of the experience of David, we have the timeless word of God that speaks especially with rich application to the older members of the congregation. And that's who I want to tailor the applications to, especially tonight. Every stage of life has its peculiar hardships, and that is true of old age. You might not now be going through the intense trials that David likely was when he wrote this psalm, but nonetheless, for the aged saint, there are many hardships. Aging is not a pleasant process. It's difficult. The body is changing, breaking down. The mind is losing some of its sharpness. There are changes, there are trials, there are hardships with age. And so we come to the Word of God for comfort and direction. We find a beautiful word of comfort here in the text, a word that brings comfort to the aged saint. Here in the text, we find the prayer of the aged saint who goes to God in faith in the midst of the struggles of old age and in the midst of all the trials that may be in his or her life at this time. And we see that aged saint casting himself or herself upon God, finding strength and help in Jehovah, the eternal refuge of his people. And we also see beautiful expression of God's grace in the life of David as an aged saint. As David ponders his life, and he sees God's work in his life, and then goes forward with a resolve to teach, and to show what God has done for him to the up-and-coming generations. And so there's a beautiful word of instruction here also as to the important place that the aged saint has in the congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's also a word for everyone. We're all aging, whether we recognize it or not. And part of wisdom is recognizing what verse 15 of the psalm says, we do not know the number of our days. Young people, part of the sober-mindedness that the Word of God calls you to is recognizing this very fact. You don't have forever. You don't know the number of your days. Walk in wisdom's ways. Walk in God's ways. Look to Him. So, beloved, let us consider this text under the theme, An Aged Saint's Prayer. Notice first a petition, second a reflection, finally a resolution. We begin with the psalmist's petition in verse 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. This petition of the psalmist, David, as an aged man, arises out of his experience of affliction in his life. And part of that experience of affliction is the afflictions of his old age. And so before we look at the content of the petition itself, let us first look at what gives rise to this petition, the afflictions that the psalmist is experiencing. David, the text makes clear, is an old man now. And he feels the effects of that old age. Once the mighty warrior king, he now prays in verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Failing strength. That was what David was experiencing. He did not possess the same vigor, the same energy, the same mental sharpness, the same endurance that he did in his younger years. He experienced the increasing weakness, the aches, the proneness to illness, and all of the other effects of age. And that weighed on him. It weighed on him because he was the shepherd king of Israel with so many duties to attend to. And at this season of failing strength, as is likely the case, he was also dealing with his rebellious son Absalom, who was pursuing him, seeking to usurp his throne and to kill him. And so David cries out in the psalm, deliver me, O God, cast me not off in this time of old age. Though I have needed you my entire life, now I experience how much I need thee. Forsake me not, God. But let's apply that to us. Though some of the afflictions David experienced, we are not experiencing now, yet David gives expression to afflictions that are common to God's people and common to the aged saints in the congregation, that season of failing strength that we call older age. There are many hardships that come with that. Physical hardships. As we grow older, our bodies begin to fail us. Our minds begin to fail us. We grow weaker. We get wearier more quickly. Many of the things we loved to do before are harder to do, even perhaps impossible to do now. We lose abilities, skills that we had before. It's a hard reality. The Bible very vividly recognizes that affliction of old age and describes it for us. The psalmist's son, Solomon, gives us perhaps the most vivid description in Ecclesiastes 3. Let's look there for a moment and see some of the illustrations that Solomon uses to describe the hardships of old age. Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12. And let's look at verses 3 through 5. Verses 3 through 5 of Ecclesiastes 12. Here, Solomon is describing the aging process, and he uses poetic figures. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. There, what Solomon is describing is the weakness of the limbs and the stooped posture that comes with old age. And the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. Very vivid. The grinders, the teeth, be few. With age, we lose our teeth. Our vision is dimmed. Those that look out of the windows of the eye be darkened. Verse 4, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. There we have a description of the failure of hearing. Grinding is low. The daughters of music shall be brought low. Then verse 5, and when he shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, speaking of the unsteadiness that comes with old age, and the fear of falling, perhaps. Very real, practical things described here. And the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. The almond tree describing the whiteness of the hair, the gray head, the grasshopper shall be a burden. Things that were easy in the past are hard now. And desire shall fail. The zeal, the energy, youth seems to fade somewhat. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. You could translate long there at the end of verse 5, eternal. Man goes to his eternal home, death. And the mourners are in the streets. You have there a realistic, candid description of the trials that come with old age. They're real. But it's not only those physical hardships, there's also the hardships of changing relationships. As we age, everything changes. Perhaps for many years we were parents with children in the home. Before long, we find ourselves what we call empty nesters. The day comes and the children marry, and they move out, and then they move away. And it can be a jarring transition. Family is not around as much. We don't see them as much as we would like. It's hard. Loneliness. There can be loneliness for the aged saint. Sometimes a feeling of being forgotten, of being by oneself, especially when the hard reality of death intrudes into our lives. A spouse is taken. And there's the loneliness of widowhood. As we get advanced in age, Solomon describes in verse 5 becomes very relatable. It seems like the mourners are always in the streets, and we experience loneliness because those we grew up with, those we knew, friends, family, begin passing away. It's hard, these afflictions of age. The afflictions of our own body, the afflictions of change in relationships, change in our lives. There's also the spiritual struggles that come with old age. When we're young, we don't often think about death. At least not as much as we do when we're older. Not because we're immune to death. That's a delusion. Because we're not confronted with it. We're not faced with it as much. When we're old, we can be faced more and more with the reality of our mortality. There are fears, there are anxieties that go with that. Some aged saints struggle with the burden of looking back on their lives, seeing past sins, struggles with salvation, assurance of salvation. How can I, a sinner, be saved? Because it's one of the things that comes with many years in this life. Part of sanctification is an increased sensitivity and knowledge of one's own sin. The aged saints in the congregation can attest to that as they look back on their lives. And it can be a struggle because the devil wants to use that to get at you, to say, how can you be saved? Look at your life. And so all of these afflictions, all of these things are likely things David was experiencing at this time. And they are things that we as aged saints may struggle with, not all of them at once, but from time to time, some of them or many of them. And thus this petition, so very fitting. This petition that we now turn to in verse 18 is the petition that David brings rising out of this experience of affliction. He lifts up his voice in prayer to God. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Let's note that this petition of David, arising out of his experience of affliction, is an earnest, heartfelt petition of faith. David goes to God, his God. And this petition erupts from his heart. It's a petition that's born by intense emotion. We see that in the very way that verse 18 is structured. The way that petition is structured, David identifies what he is struggling with. The reality that he is in the season of failing strength. I am old and gray-headed. And then he inserts that emotion-packed address. O God! Then the request, forsake me not. The very structure of the petition brims with the emotion of David. We see that throughout the entire Psalm 71, how often, O God, O Lord God, erupts from David's lips. This is the sincere cry of the believing, aged David for help in his troubles. A cry of faith. Faith going to the only one who is his help, his deliverer. As you read through Psalm 71, you also note that though David is in the midst of affliction, though he's struggling, wrestling with his own weaknesses, yet his faith is steadfast. And you see that in all of the expressions of hope and trust that are woven throughout the psalm. For example, verse 3, where David says, Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. And that's what David is doing here in this petition. He is resorting to God, his strong habitation. As his strength is failing, he goes to the one who is almighty strength, Jehovah his God, his strong habitation, his rock, his fortress, the Almighty. This petition is the voice of faith, the voice of the faith of an afflicted, aged saint crying out to God. It's faith doing what only faith can do. Casting oneself upon Jehovah, fleeing to Jehovah, our eternal refuge. What we have here is that great mystery of the Christian life. Paul describes, when I am weak, then am I strong. In the season of failing strength, David goes to the Almighty. When he is weak, he is strong. Those moments when we acknowledge our utter weakness, when we are in the midst of affliction, and we come to God and we express our total dependence on God, when we cast ourselves upon Him, commit our way to Him, trust in Him, and lean not on our own understandings, and bring these kinds of petitions to Him from heartfelt faith, oh God, forsake me not. In those times of weakness, we are the strongest. Because we are resorting to that strong habitation, Jehovah, depending entirely upon the Almighty. This is applicable to every saint here tonight, young as well as old. And in a certain sense, it must be applied to the young. Because a particular weakness of the young is that we tend to trust in our own strength too much. Young man, young woman, strong and vigorous as you may be in your youth, understand, your strength is nothing. It could be gone just like that. Trust in the Lord, resort to Him, depend on Him, walk in His ways. For the aged saint, confronted every day with the growing weakness of the body and the mind, go to Jehovah. He is your strength. He gives you everything you need each and every day to face each of those afflictions. Resort continually to your strong habitation. That's the character of this petition. It's David, in heartfelt faith, going to God. But now let's look more particularly at the content of David's petition. As an aged saint, David has a particular petition that he brings to God. And this petition is striking. It's only three words. Forsake me not. Forsake me not. And I wonder, why does David say this? Well, when we understand what was perhaps happening at this time in his life, he certainly felt forsaken. His son Absalom had forsaken him. Trusted counselors in the kingdom had turned their backs on him and betrayed him. But there's more to it than that. David felt forsaken at this time in his life. As he was struggling with all of these afflictions, the afflictions of old age, as he was struggling with his failing strength, he felt alone. He felt weak. He felt helpless. He felt unsure about the future. And you put all of those things together, you have a feeling of forsakenness. We get a sense of what was going on in David's soul as he prays this prayer. Perhaps he's even struggling to put it to words because life is so out of control and there's so many things that he's struggling with. And so he utters, "Lord, forsake me not. Lord, don't abandon me. Lord, don't deliver me into the hands of my enemies. Lord, don't withdraw from me now when I need thee, when I am weak. God, hide not thy face from me. Don't forsake me such that all of these afflictions swallow me up because I am weak. And I feel like they're swallowing me up. Forsake me not." Perhaps we might wonder, why would David think that? He knows God's not going to forsake him. God does never forsake his people. Deep down, David knew that. Just like deep down, beloved, we all know that. But when we're in the crucible of suffering, when life isn't going our way, when things seem as though they're falling apart, yes, we know that, but our experience seems to testify otherwise. And so we have a real struggle. Because what we know doesn't seem to fit with what's going on. And so David cries out to God for the strength and for the help he needs to rest in God, to know with certainty God's there with him. And isn't that true with our experience too? We know God never forsakes us. Sometimes we feel forsaken. And here's what we do when we feel forsaken. Oh God, forsake me not. Because it is in that crying out to God in faith that God answers us and works. He uses that means of prayer because prayer is faith reaching out to commune with God. He uses that means of prayer to comfort us and give us a sense of his presence. God works differently at different times and with different people. It's not as if crying out to God is immediately going to make us feel better. God uses that. God used that with David. You see it already in the psalm as you read to the end of the psalm and you see how the very tone of the psalm transitions into joy and gladness. It's as if in the very raising of this prayer and fleeing to God and resorting to that strong habitation, though it didn't change these outward circumstances, not yet, yet David already began to experience that peace and comfort. God hadn't forsaken him. God was with him, as he always had been, helping him, strengthening him with his everlasting arms. So, beloved, this is something that we want to apply to all of us tonight, but especially to the aged saints of the congregation. What are the struggles in your life that maybe sometimes make you feel forsaken? Is it all those physical afflictions, illness, weakness, things that seem to keep coming and piling up? Is it the changes in your relationships, in family life? Is it the sorrow of death, the aching grief of a lost loved one, fear? Cry to God. Turn to Him. Find your refuge in Him. Our God is the God who says in Isaiah 46, verse 4, "And even to your old age I am He. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you." Even to your old age, I am He. God speaks to His aged people there and He is saying, I am the same God that was with you when you were young. I am the changeless Jehovah. I gave my Son, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, for you. I am your eternal refuge. Take shelter under my everlasting and overshadowing wings. God never forsakes. He is with you. He is your strength, your rock, your fortress. In time of trouble and affliction, and through all the ravages of time, through every step of our earthly way. That's David's earnest petition. But we want to also see that in our text, in connection with this earnest petition, there is also an encouraging reflection. David reflects back on his life and meditates on God's work for him throughout his life and sees God's sovereign guidance and care for him since he was a young man. And this reflection now is up above the petition in verse 17. In verse 17 we read, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Two striking things come out in this reflection. David looks back on his life. The first, David confesses that all throughout his life, since he was a young man, God has been teaching him. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that God appeared to David personally and taught him. The idea, rather, is that God has been at work in his life since he was born, teaching, leading, guiding him. David confesses in this psalm that God was the one who brought him out of his mother's womb. He has been David's God since David cried his very first breaths. God brought him into the world, and from then on, David has been taught by God. You can imagine how David reflects this time as an old man. Goes back as far as he can remember. Little boy in godly Jesse's house, being taught the word and ways of God, being taught God's covenant in the home of his father and his mother. He sees and he understands that was God teaching me, leading me, caring for me through my father and mother. Continues rehearsing his life, his experiences, reflects on his days as the shepherd of his father's sheep, out in the wilderness of Judea, caring for that flock, fighting off the lions and the bears. It's Jehovah that was with him, who gave him safety, who gave him strength to protect his father's flock, but above all was using that to train him and equip him now to be the shepherd king of Israel that he is. God never forsook him. He was always there, teaching and leading him. Then perhaps David reflected on his young manhood as the anointed king on the run from the vindictive King Saul, hiding in caves, fleeing for his life. God was with him. God kept him. Then, as undoubtedly David's mind did, thought upon his sins. Murder of Uriah. Adultery with Bathsheba. The other sins that aren't recorded in the scriptures. How God chastised him, brought him to repentance, restored him, and how through that experience David was taught of God. He learned more deeply the reality of his sin, and he came to know more deeply the reality of God's undeserved grace, forgiving grace, and we could go on and on. David reflects and looks back on his whole life, and what does he see? Faith sees God everywhere. And that's what the old man David sees as he looks back on his life. He sees God, and he recognizes, my whole life hitherto has been God's handiwork. And whether I knew it or not, hitherto I have declared his wondrous works. His works of great power, his work of salvation, all of the works God performed in his life, those are the wonderful works David speaks about. And yes, David, as a believer, sought time and time again to declare God's wonderful works. But even when that wasn't David's purpose, God was shaping and directing his entire life so that David's entire life, and he can see this now, looking back as an old man, his entire life is a display of God's wondrous works. He is a product of God's sovereign love that shapes the vessels of his mercy into something beautiful, something that God delights in. That is what David sees his life to be. From my youth, the Lord has taught me, and hitherto I have declared his wondrous works. I am a living illustration of the grace of God. It's nothing I have done. And this reflection of David then encourages him. Encourages him in his present afflictions. God who was with me from the beginning, from the day of my birth, who has taught me through all of the different experiences of my life, who brought me through all of those hardships and turned them for my profit, the God who has been shaping and molding my life for his glory and for my good, that God who never forsook me in the past, how will he forsake me now? He will not forsake me. He is the God who is steadfastly faithful. And that's one of the other resounding themes that we find in Psalm 71. Verse 15, for example, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. Verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. That's the voice of the aged David speaking with the strength of Jehovah, the faithful God who never forsakes his people. Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. David is confident that he shall continue to declare those wondrous works till the day the Lord takes him home. No matter what happens in his life, he is declaring the wondrous works of God. So there's application for us, for all of us, but especially the aged saints who have so many more years to reflect on. What do you see when you let your mind rehearse the decades? What do you see? Say with David, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. See the sovereign work of the potter shaping and molding you. See how your life is the beautiful product of sovereign grace. See how the God who was always with you never forsook you, and then be encouraged because the God who was with you then will be with you for as many days as you have until he calls you home. These are the reflections of faith that encourage us. A good example of David, or not David, but the psalmist Asaph doing this very thing, reflecting upon God's work in his past and being encouraged by it, is found in Psalm 77. Psalm 77, first I call your attention to verse 7. This really parallels the petition of our text. In verse 7, the psalmist Asaph says, "Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more?" Asaph, in his suffering, even expresses things more strongly. He felt, in his afflictions, forsaken. And he goes on to describe those in the following verses. But now, verses 10 through 12. "And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings." He reflects. And that reflection puts things back into perspective. God, who shaped his whole life hitherto, is with him even now to the end. Let that be a comfort for us all and for the aged saints in our midst. But now let us see that with this petition and this reflection, the psalmist also has a resolution. The text contains a resolution. And that's the second half of verse 18, beginning with "until." "Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power unto every one that is to come." Here David, as an old man, expresses a desire that he has, a desire that's so powerful that he wants to continue living in this world. He does not want to leave and go to God in heavenly glory just yet, because there is this that is a concern and a care for him, and it is for the upcoming generation of God's people. It's a concern not merely for his own family, but for the whole covenant community. David expresses a resolution now. Having reflected on his life and seeing how his life is the handiwork of God, now he wants to show to the upcoming generations the power and the strength, the saving grace of our sovereign God that he experienced. He wants to show that, declare it, teach it to the upcoming generations so that they may know this awesome God, so that they too may praise and worship this God. David, as an old man, has a covenantal zeal for the young among God's people. And is that not a beautiful thing? David, in his old age, turns his mind to think about how all of his experience, everything he has gone through, can be put into the use service of God's people for their good. He has seen his life to be the display of God's sovereign grace. Now let that display of God's sovereign grace teach others to adore the sovereign grace of God. Here's where some good applications can be made to the place of the aged members in the congregation. Let this be your resolution also. The aged saints have an important place in the church. The church needs them. The young people need them. Aged saints, you are living declarations of God's grace. You are living displays of His handiwork. All of the things you have experienced, the knowledge you have gained, the wisdom, the insight that the Lord has given you, He's given that to you to give to the church. He's put you in the church so that you can declare His strength and power to this generation and to the generations that are to come. your presence in the congregation so very important for the whole church. It's easy to say in our old age, what use am I? I'm growing old. I don't really have a place or function in the church. The text banishes that thought from us. And the text sets before us the reality that the aged members of the congregation have a greatly important role. There's so many ways that that role can be carried out. Simply being here, a part of the congregation, talking with the younger members of the church. You're declaring God's grace, His power, His strength to the upcoming generations. When an older member of the church, an older man, looks out for a younger man in the church, an older woman mentors a younger woman in the church, when an older member goes to another member who is going through an affliction, brings wisdom from the Word of God and from your own experience. That's what the text is talking about. That's what David was resolved to do. And that's what the aged members of the congregation can make their desire also. Declare God's power, God's strength to the generation to come. To the young, you need the aged saints. It's sad that our culture is a culture that glorifies youth and denigrates age. Our culture portrays the old as those who are behind the times, who are out of touch, and really shouldn't be listened to. That's diametrically opposed to what the Word of God says. And so young Christian man, young Christian woman, resist that thinking in the in the culture in which we live. Not only respect your elders, but go to them. Look to them for help. Don't be afraid to seek advice from them. Build relationships with them, so that you may draw upon the knowledge and the wisdom that God has given them in their many years of experience as a Christian. The aged in the congregation have so much to share with the younger members of the congregation. So for those of us who are young, let's work at that. Building relationships with those who are older than us. Perhaps going to visit the very aged in the retirement home. Not only to comfort them with a visit, but also to learn from them. Bring your children even to learn from these aged saints. Such interaction among the generations of God's people is so very healthy and good. It builds up the church. It builds up our families. Through it, God's grace is magnified. And so, beloved, let us see that though there are afflictions that come with being old and gray-headed, being old and gray-headed is a gift. Just like every stage of life, single or married, parent or not parent, young or old, it's a gift of God. And God has put you in this place to be of use to Him, and we are called to be good stewards of every good gift of God. So may this Word of God encourage us and encourage aged saints in this stage of their lives, and may it also give us a resolve to declare the wondrous grace and power of our God to this generation, to all that are to come. Amen. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, and we pray that this prayer of an aged saint may be of encouragement to the older members of our congregation, that they may indeed be a display of Thy grace in the midst of the congregation, and that the whole church may grow by seeing thy handiwork in their lives. Father, may we also reflect, all of us, on our own lives and see thy work, see thy hand, so that we may be encouraged that thou, the God who art with us in days past, shall be with us forevermore. Bless us and grant thy word to strengthen us. In Jesus' name alone, amen.